reading to you from Luke, the 24th chapter, and with the 46th verse. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ shall suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending you forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe, and you know I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I sure have been enjoying Christ ever since. Friends, you've got to know him personally. There's a lot of people in churches today and know about him, but they don't know him personally. He wants to be your personal Savior. He died for you personally. If no one else in the world he died for, he died for you and he died for me. Well, listen, folks, I'll just be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will they turn with me to Revelation and the 21st chapter and the 1 through 6. And I saw, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Excuse me. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the waters of life without cost." I have labeled this tonight, "Tears Gone Forever." Well, stars in the morning. Let's talk about a neglected subject, eternity. Now, you know, when I was a young little fella, and after my baby sister died, I was told by my mom and my dad that we'd see her again someday. Well, they were Christians, and I didn't understand that. But, I just couldn't understand how eternity could be time without end. See, there's always an end to something on earth. You live, you're born, you live, you die. But most of our thoughts center on temporal things like, well, am I going to get this promotion? Am I going to be able to buy this new house this year? Or can I afford a new car? I remember a man in our church I was pastoring in Anacortes, Washington. He said to me one time, and I never said a word to him about it. He said, "You know, Brother Mo, as soon as I pay off this TV, I'm going to start tithing." I said, "Okay." Well, would you believe it? When he paid the TV off, he went down and got a bigger TV, and he never did tithe. I felt sorry for him. Both of his sons were killed in a hunting accident. And he just never seemed to grasp the truth. You know, the Bible said there are those who are always learning, but never, never coming to the knowledge of truth. But our time here is short and eternity is long. Just remember, if you lived 1,000 years on this earth, that's nothing. That's just one day in the Lord's work. One day. But eternity is forever. Time without end. It just makes my head spin. But I know it's true because he said it was. Those who are born again can anticipate a bright eternity. Oh, friends, don't you remember when you was in school? Do you remember when we used to have our banquets at our, all the things that we did while we were in school? We used to look forward to it. I remember one time we were going to our junior class banquet, and one of the dearest girls in our school, Anna Mae Wadicki, was killed. Foolishly, absolutely unnecessarily, but she was killed. And I'll never forget that. I sure didn't look forward to our junior-senior prom, because after all, she wouldn't be there. And you know, Anna Mae, she was a bright and shining star. She really was. You know, that's why I say you can be a Christian in school. Sure you can. And you should stand out. Yes, sir. But nowadays, you know, in order to stand out, you got to wear skimpy clothes, got to wear your skirts just about 6 inches above your knee, and you got to show a little cleavage. And, oh, friends, I wish you'd read the Bible. Women, I know you say, well, that's the style. I don't care if that's the style. You don't dress because the people in the world style. No, no. Heaven is ahead for all of us who are saved. And oh, dear friends, listen, heaven will be far better. Just remember that. Oh, yes, it will be. In the Bible said in verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. Can you imagine what a joy that's going to be? Hey, folks, we can walk the streets of glory, streets of gold. Oh, yeah, that's gravel up there. And we can see him. You know, that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They lost so much. They were in such a beautiful garden, and all they had to do was till it. And in the evening, God would come and fellowship with them in the cool of the evening. But because of sin, that was all wiped out, all destroyed, because people believed the serpent or the devil before they had believed God. Well, eternity with our Savior, and he will dwell with them, according to my Bible. Faith in Christ begins a wonderful walk with God. Now, I never dreamed the morning that I accepted Jesus Christ that my life would change so radically. I had my tavern friends. They weren't friends. Do you know what happened to me after I was saved? I started trying to tell those winos and alcoholics about Jesus. They let air out of my tires. They wouldn't speak to me on the street. But when I started going to that church, oh, I had all kinds of friends. They would invite me and my family to their home for dinner on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. They knew I was a town drunk, but they forgave me and they opened their arms to me. What a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Faith in Christ becomes a wonderful, wonderful walk with God. Their walk with the Lord continues in heaven. He said he would dwell with us, and he would be our people. We'd be his people. God himself shall be with them, and he will be their God. My stars in the morning. Listen in the third verse. The first sign of life in a baby is a cry. Oh, there are many tears here, too. But it says, third verse, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among them, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them." You know, these dear friends, they're not friends, but these Muslims who says that Allah is their God. Oh, friends, listen, I'm here to tell you, if you read the book, if you read their book, you'll find that they hate, from the day they're born, they're taught to hate infidels and the Jews. That's what they're taught to do. And they say that their God is a loving God. No, he's not. He's not even a God. He's not even real. Aren't they going to be disappointed when they die and go to hell and they'll say, "Where's Allah?" Allah's gone. He never was. He never will be. You know, there's disappointments and hurts in childhood. I remember, friends, we lived out in a Kelly place in the Dalles, about 15 or 20 miles out of town. And we had a huge, huge barn for hay and for the horses and stuff like that. And one time when the hay got down to about, two or three feet, my brothers had me walk up about 20 feet across a beam as a foot wide. And they said, "Now you crawl across." And I wasn't over 5 or 6 years old. "Now you walk across there." And when I got in the middle, I said, "Stop." I stopped. Said, "Now jump." I said, "I can't jump. I'll kill myself. Jump, or we'll come up and throw you in." And I jumped off that thing and 20 feet into that, and there was very little hay in there. Boy, I got skinned up. Ooh, did I get skinned up. Well, I started screaming and crying, and they took off like a herd of turtles. Well, my mom heard me crying. She ran out there, and there I was laying in the hay, crying my eyes out. And I skinned up my knees, and I skinned up my elbows, and my mother would reach down there, and she'd kiss my knees, and she kissed my elbows. I never couldn't believe such a healing. Oh, the kiss of a mother. Oh, friends, you know, my mama's been dead for so many years, 60-some years. Very rarely a day goes by that I don't think about her. Oh, she suffered so much in the last few years of her life. She had a congenital heart disease, in and out of the hospitals. Oh, but dear friends, I never heard her complain. No, she was born again. Her home was in glory. This wasn't her home. She just passing through. Well, you know, there is a disappointments and hurts in our childhood. And when my dad remarried the meanest woman this side of hell, I'll tell you something, it was awful. You just, if you've never been raised by a mean or a stepmother or stepdad, you don't know what you're missing. I knew she hated me from day one. And I hated her from day one. But you know, dear friends, the time came in my life when Jesus came into my heart that I was able to forgive her and tell her I was sorry that we didn't get things together. You know, there's a loneliness and pain of old age. You know, I've got a letter of recommendation from two great big rest homes, one in Youngstown, Ohio, and one in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Almost every Sunday, I was preaching every Sunday. Plus, I had 3 radio broadcasts. And those dear old people would have me come and play the organ. And they always wanted to sing "The Old Rugged Cross." What a friend we had in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Oh, listen. And I used to love to watch their faces as the tears streamed down their eyes as they were reminded that they were old and they were in pain. But many of them knew where they were going when they die. See, the Bible said in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, that Jesus was a man of sorrow because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sins of many and intercedes for the transgressors. Well, you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, And it says, "Then he said to them, My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." But what happened? His disciples all fell asleep. Friends, that's what's happened to our churches today. They've all went to sleep. They no longer are concerned about men and women who are dying and going to hell. They're no more concerned about the people who are in prison. Jesus said, "I was in prison and you visited me not. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I needed clothes and you wouldn't give it to me. Inasmuch as you've done this to the least of my brethren," he said, "you've done it unto me." And you remember, in John 11:35, he was weeping at the graves of Lazarus. Jesus wept the shortest place in the whole verse in the Bible. Why did Jesus wept? Because he was human, yet he was divine. Friends, he cared. Peter said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Well, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And I read in Luke 19:41, "And he approached, and when he approached, he saw the city and wept over it." You think Jesus is weeping over America today? Oh, yes, he is. Friends, the Bible said the nation that forgets God shall surely perish. They've taken, and even the Democrats, and I'm not taking sides, but they want to take prayer out of school. They want to take God out of school. They want to take God off their money. They want to take the Ten Commandments out. They want to butcher little babies. Oh, my friends, don't you think that they're not going to stand before God too and give an account for their life? But the Bible says that he will wipe away all of your tears. There'll be no more sorrow, no more crying. In verse 4, "And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no longer any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." You see, friends, death brings separation. Separation of body and spirit, and it says in James 2:26, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." You know, people don't read that enough. Faith without works is absolutely dead. Do you know, I've said this time and again, and I'll say it until Jesus takes me home. You show me a tight-fisted Christian, and I'll show you a person that's not walking their talk. Oh, I'm serious about that. You know, the only time that people want to give is Christmas time. I'm not talking about the ministry. Give to the poor and the needy. I tell people on my broadcast, if you ever send anything to this broadcast, you get on your knees and you ask God first. I don't want you doing something wrong. Maybe he wants you to send it to Billy Graham or some missionary. But don't you give money to anybody or anything until you ask the Lord, and he'll tell you what to do. Of course, the last enemy will finally be destroyed. And I read in 1 Corinthians 15:26, "The last enemy that will be abolished is death." You know, can you imagine no more sickness? I know, dear friends of the namer and claimers, that say if you're sick, you're not right with God. But that's a lie out of hell. Oh, friends, that's not true. And then the people, the namer and claimers, that talks about prosperity religion. That's all they preach is prosperity. Many of them never led a soul to Christ and don't intend to. They just want you to send money to them so they can do what they got to do. I fear for them. I really do. "And he shall wipe away every tear from their eye, and there shall be no longer any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away, neither shall there be any more pain." Oh, friends, if you've ever suffered a heart attack, you'll know what I'm talking about. This is painful. Oh, yes, it is. My legs are painful because of my sugar diabetes. My feet are painful. My knees are painful. But it's not going to be that way forever. Because when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have any more pain, no more heartache, no more infirmities. Whew. In heaven, we'll enjoy perfect health. No colds, no cancer, no arthritis, no appendicitis, no headaches, no heartaches. All will be new, including us. You know, that timely word from our Savior is this in verse 6. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost." You say, "I'm broke, Cecil. I'm flat broke." That's okay. He said, "You don't have to have any money." Oh, but it cost God a terrible price. It cost Jesus his life. You know, you've heard me say this. They said, the Jews said they took his life. They didn't take his life. He went to the cross willingly. He laid it down. From the beginning, before the beginning of the world, God had planned for Jesus, his son, to come into the world and die for you and me. He had it. Nothing is new. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. And he is the beginning and the end. And beloved, he offers living waters to all who thirst. Come to him in faith and be satisfied forever. You thirsty tonight? Friend, are you tired of your wasted life? Now, I'm talking to lost people, but I'm also talking to Christians. What's your life amount to? What have you been doing for Jesus? Are you witnessing? Are you giving into the Lord's work so that the missionaries and them can go and churches can be established? Are you doing that? Or are you thinking you're going to take it with you? Ain't going to happen. You come in broke, empty, and you're going out broke and empty. You can't take it with you. I know Jack Benny said he wouldn't go if he could take it with him, but he went anyway. Friends, listen, I want to ask you tonight. If you feel a little tugging at your old heart, maybe God's Holy Spirit saying, "Bill, Bart, John, Mary, won't you come to me tonight with your broken heart, your broken dreams? I love you, but more than that, God loves you." So tonight, if you feel a tug at your heart and you'd like to put your trust in Jesus, or if you're a Christian and you've been not living for him, I want you to come back, confess your sins to him, and he's faithful and just to forgive all your sins. To the lost man, here's the prayer that can change your life. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm opening my heart right now and inviting you in to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone, and I want you to call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. If you feel I can help you, please call me.
Can't help
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host and evangelist Cecil Bow, I've got a special prayer request for you. Lib Russell lives in Cedro Woolley, Washington. I've known her and her husband and her family, have led some of her family to the Lord. She just had an angioplasty the other day and put a little stent in her heart. You pray for her. You know what I love about her. She taught me how to eat pickled beans. She's from North Carolina, and her dear granddaughter's taking care of her in the daytime, and her daughter and them are taking care of her night. We love you, Lib, and don't forget, pickled beans, that's what I want. Well, dear friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up for friends. This wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real good.